Let's talk Lovecraft Country, episodes 4 and 5, or as I like to think of them, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Really Gross.
National Treasure and Eli Roth.
Sure, that works.
It's almost, I don't know how I'm feeling about this show, guys. I feel like somebody has a pair of D20 dice, and on one of them is labeled every historical anthology trope that you've seen as an Amazing Stories episode, and on the other is every marginalized group of society, and then they just roll the 2d20 and then they mash them up together. Everything from a nod to trans stuff to his dad being uncomfortable and coming to accept his homosexuality.
Okay, but that's not a criticism. So you're saying not only is it that, but you don't like how they're executing it.
It's just, I think they are slow plotting episodes, and I wish they would move faster. And they're beautiful, and the actors are amazing. But the stories are very familiar, and the marginalized groups are very transparently put on display. And
just going off of your metaphor, do you feel like these two things are being randomly put together? Because I feel like they tend to have strong parallels between reality and the fantasy situations that they set up.
That's a legit point. And you're right about it. It's,
cause like Strange Cases I think parallels the idea of like code switching, you know, the idea of who you present yourself, as in front of other people, other groups of people, and takes it a step farther with the sort of the body horror and the metamorphosis stuff. And then the body horror, it's interesting that we only ever see her metamorph out of being the white woman into being a black woman. And it leaves us with this image constantly of like a bloody murdered white woman, but we never see the opposite, which I think is an interesting choice.
Oh, that's interesting. Cause I thought mechanically the potion just caused her to transform, and then she had to shed the exoskeleton of the transformed thing.
But we never see that shed of the black form.
You're right. It never occurred to me that there would be one there. I just figured.
So what you're saying, magic. Bryce, is it's a whole lot easier to be white than it is to be black.
Well, I think the episode makes that clear too.
I mean, I just don't know where I'm at with the show. Like,
let me take a stab at what may be making this less enjoyable. Is you were promised and in the first episode, it promises this a mystery and an exploration adventure story, and what you're getting is an anthology.
Yes, I was very excited for. I've never read a bunch of the H.P. Lovecraft stuff, and I know it's a shared universe with a bunch of crazy creatures and all that stuff. I was really looking forward to, like, finally, I'm gonna have a culturally relevant way to assimilate all this, and that's not what this is. It's just a monster of the week.
I wonder about where they're going with that, because in some sense, the book that it's based on is very much feels like a collection of stories. But it's not a collection of episodes the way this is. And I wonder if what they're doing is planting these stories so they can later pull them back together, or if they're just going to keep treating it more anthology like the way the book does. Whereas the book, if I'm remembering the book right, it has larger stories, right? If you were to make the book literally into the show, it would be a 3 to 4 episode arc on one, then a couple of, you know, several episode arc on the other. And instead, I feel like we're hopping from one to the other while leaving some threads for later telling.
Yeah, and I think I would feel a more pressing interest in wanting to you know, stick with the importance of learning how to become a wizard to protect the family if I knew who the bad guys were. And
well, History of Violence is closer to that mainline mystery, right? And saying we need to find out who the bad guy is. And who the bad guy is a mystery, right? You know plenty of the bad guys. What you're saying is, like, who's the king bad guy? Who's at the top of the pile?
Yeah. And again, like, they sort of establish that they have a ward over their house, so they're safe within. And I don't know. I don't particularly care for the anthology aspect. That's the big thing.
I really liked both these episodes. I found Strange Case to be really gross. In fact, a little more graphic than I think it needed to be for me. But I loved Strange Case. I loved the depiction of Ruby and handling Ruby talking to the black girl, not as like, hey, I'm secretly on your side because I'm a secret black woman, but like, you're not good enough. I should have got this job because I'm qualified and you didn't even study. And if you want to do this, you need to be better. Like, I liked that. I liked her journey through that. And I felt like it was a well-told story. The only connection to the mainline story we get, though, is her doing the catering gig and finding that, okay, these guys are planning something from the police side, and yet they're not really members of the lodge because what's her name? Christina has told them that directly. History of Violence was fun. I don't know. I was a nice little jaunt. It was a fun little Indiana Jones tale, and that's where we got some mythology, and we were after the page, and at the end we get the page, but then we don't get the page, but we have a picture of the page, and that one feels like it didn't move us a lot on the storyline, but it was all related to the main storyline.
Yeah, I mean, the moment I realized, like, oh, we're doing Indiana Jones, like, just interest went for me, because it's like,
because you don't like fun stories that tell an adventure?
Well, no, because the moment I can guess almost all the tropes that are going to happen, and now I'm sentenced to 40 more minutes of, okay, there's the
sentenced to. Wow. Coming okay. down. Yeah. No, you really don't like this
thing
this
close.
This
there's, yeah. And let me guess, the water fills and, oh, they found the thing and the, you know, it's like, it's a, I
didn't find it predictable at all, other than, okay, it's going to be an adventure story. Like, I enjoyed it. It was a fun ride. I really don't see that being the problem with it, at least not for me.
Interesting.
I felt like there was something missing in that episode. Did you guys get a sense of that? Like, as like,
no, I didn't.
The specific moment is when they go down into the initially down into the exhibit, and they've got the three pathways, and it almost looks like they're setting up, like, oh, they're actually going to go down the wrong pathway.
The wrong pathway, yeah.
And that never gets brought up again, which makes me think either we're going to come back to this, or there's more here, or
it's not,
it's a
missing,
weird red
but
herring.
It is a weird. They violated Chekhov's gun, right? Yeah. Like, They put a gun in front of you and they said, don't use the gun. And then no one did. And they're like, yeah,
they're like, okay,
use that gun. Yeah.
Well, we had you, Chekhov.
We had to stop and have Tick say, huh, are we looking at the right gun? Okay.
Although, it's not clear. So this doesn't solve the problem, but yeah, it may be that the problems they had getting to the end were because they picked the wrong. If they'd picked the right path, it would have been easy. I don't
also
know.
Just like a relatively cheaper looking episode.
I didn't notice that either.
I think I don't know. It felt a little cheap, except for the scene where they're opening the door, where it's the long single shot of him messing with the lock under. I did like that.
But I never get bothered by that stuff. I'm way too forgiving on cheap. Cheap looking never bothers me. It doesn't strike me as an objection personally. Okay. So maybe it did look cheap and I just didn't notice it.
On the one where Ruby becomes a white woman, that one scene where she's explaining, no, you have to be even better than everybody else. It's interesting because I read that entirely as her internal monologue. She was authentically speaking as she would as a black woman to another black woman saying,
yes.
No, don't you understand the spotlight that is being shown upon us right now? Only it just, those words sound very different coming from somebody in a position of power and of privilege. And
yes,
I think
that's right. I got that too, but I liked the extra complicating factor of what she's saying sounds harsh and paternalistic and prejudiced coming from a white woman, because even though we know that a lot of what she's saying is because Ruby is like, no, but I am more qualified than this girl, and I'm mad at her. And I thought that was a really complex and interesting juxtaposition.
That's so interesting, because I didn't read that she was mad at her so much as she's
when she talks about like, oh, did you take this course? And then it was like, oh no, I didn't.
I just
like,
walked
that's
in.
That's Ruby being like, man, I took courses. Right. I am qualified. I should have got that job, and you didn't. You got it because you happened to walk in.
Oh no,
at the right time.
I read it as the opposite of like, girl, you got to do better. And
there's two different aspects. That's what I mean about it being complex. There is also her telling her like, you aren't always going to get to waltz in and just luck into stuff. You have to be better. And that is absolutely true. And I agree. I got that out of it as well. It's both things.
I wonder if there's also an interest. I don't know if this is intentional or not, but the Strange Case episode, talking a little bit about some of your issues earlier, Brian, about feeling like there's a lack of a villain or a lack of like a solid antagonist. Right.
Or existential threat or unifying thread that I'm supposed to be following. Or
mm-hmm. Ruby kind of has that a little bit where, you know, she's given this great power and she uses it to go, you know, work at a department store, which is a personal kind of case for her. But at the end, when she's talking to Christina, she kind of has a revelation like, well, you can do whatever you want. This isn't just the thing in front of you. This
the hardest thing you thought you could achieve before this potion was working at Marshall Fields. That ain't true anymore now that you got this potion.
And I wonder if that maybe parallels a little bit with that issue of the show, in that, well, it's not about taking down a villain. It's about going after the power of magic, right? That's kind of what Tick and Letty have been talking about. A little bit the idea of like, well, if you have magic, you can, it's a whole new game. You have a cheat code. And I guess maybe there's some built-in antagonism with multiple people like the clubs trying to fight for their own portion of that magic.
Right.
But there's not like there's not a big bad inherent in that structure.
You know what it reminds me of is how I felt about X-Files. It's like there were really only two types of X-Files episodes. The ones that dealt with the black goo and the ongoing story and the smoking man and every other Monster of the Week episode. And I feel like we were dealt a couple of black goo episodes at the beginning of all this that I'm like, oh my God, this is the beginning of a big epic story. And I feel like for three episodes straight, we've gotten Monster of the Week episodes. And maybe that's where my
frustration is. Well, and that's what I was saying about the book is like, I wonder if they're going to pull this all together, because they're telling this chronologically in a way that I don't recall it being told in the book.
I like the Monster of the Week thing. It feels very refreshing to me. I feel like there aren't other prestige level shows like this doing that kind of storytelling.
Yeah,
and so I enjoy it's also just easier for me to follow a little bit when they can just be a little more compact. But I totally recognize that, like, we're changing.
Also, we haven't even mentioned the twist, which I'm going to assume Brian either saw coming or didn't think was that big of a deal.
I was surprised by that, but also, I'm only medium invested emotionally in that duality of characters. So, but I did think that was cool.
Well, what I loved about that twist is it shows that Christina has been doing the same thing as Ruby, right? She's trying to be a white man. Instead of a white woman.
Yeah, she even complains about how, this is for men only earlier in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why she's able to say, look, you know, you're making a bigger step up, but that means you can make a bigger step up. Go for it. Which I think is really interesting as well. Next week, we're going to get a flashback episode to Tick's experience in South Korea.
Looks interesting. The mysterious Korean woman he tries to contact on the phone seems to be pretty successful.
And did battle with in his nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. That's Lovecraft Country, episodes 4 and 5.